Welcome to the Living Spiritfully Podcast, Come Alive Edition. Here are your hosts for today, Paul Galoro and Catherine Stilo.
Hello, hello, hello. Here we are. It's another edition of Come Alive. I'm here with my girl, Catherine Stilo. Catherine, how you doing?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. I mean, it's March. We are getting like closer and closer to spring. We had that intense snowstorm that came on the weekend. And now here we are.
Here we are. And there is a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot going on individually, but there's also a lot going on in the planetary alignments we were just talking about before we hit record.
Yeah.
So March is turning out to be a very interesting month. Yes. And I'm just sitting back and watching the whole thing, doing my best to stay in my body and stay grounded.
Staying grounded.
Yes. And that's actually kind of like what we're going to talk about today, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. And before we get into that, though, because we were also talking about exciting stuff that you were telling me about some programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were telling me about what you got going on. So let's share. So I have, and I've mentioned this before, two kind of programs, events, things that are happening here through the Living Spiritfully Collective. On the 21st of March, Crystal Eves and I begin our The Way of the Sun program. It's 12 months, and each month we will explore the zodiac sign of that month. So we start off at the spring equinox with Aries, and Crystal will do her bit where she'll talk about the sign and the archetype and how it shows up in different ways. And then 2 weeks after that, we get together and I create an embodiment experience of Aries. So we'll move and we'll breathe, we'll do some meditation. Depending on the sign, there may be, it might be more of a physical approach. It might be more of a, like a, creating a vision board or something like that. So every season that we find ourselves in, we'll be able to explore it, sink into it, see how that sign shows up within us, and get that full experience for the whole year. So that starts on the spring equinox. We're going to flow through that all together, which is super exciting. And then on the 1st and 2nd of April, Dr. Patricia Rennie, myself, and her colleague are doing Mastering Your Metabolic Health. So it's a one-day retreat where we're going to talk about self-care. We're going to talk about different embodiment things that we can do to keep our bodies healthy. The naturopaths, both of them, they're going to be talking about different things that we can do, what we want to look for in our blood work, how we can keep ourselves healthy so we can live better longer. So and then they're going to be cooking stuff from their cookbooks and stuff. It's going to be an exciting thing. So if anybody's interested, check out the show's notes because we've got all the details in there. But I was just like, as you were telling me, I just thought it was so like fun and wild and interesting and coincidental and also not that your program is starting this month as well with spring coming and everything. Why don't you talk about that? Because I love it.
Yes. So a new session of yoga. We're going to start it on the equinox, March 21st, which is also coinciding with new moon.
Yes.
So lots of like very powerful beginnings. And this program is rebirth. So it's a spring tonic. We go through each system of the body and start to reactivate and re-energize and reawaken. And that's on Zoom, and details are in the show's notes. You can find them there if you want to know more information about that one.
You know, I notice myself, and we're just going to have a little side conversation before we get into it. And I love that as you're, you know, doing your programs, you're like aligning them with the seasons and what's happening. I found for myself, once I started doing that in my own personal practice and then taking that into my teaching, just what a huge shift, as opposed to whereas before when I was just like randomly teaching whatever came up and came out. I find that a lot more now. I have less experience of, oh God, that was a horrible class, because I'm more in tune with the energy than me trying to create something and force it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just, it made me think of that.
Completely. I think one is from coming from the head, where one is, and trying to create in the mind, which is also a powerful way to do things. The harmony, I think, comes as like we feel the earth rhythms, the sky rhythms, the our own bodily rhythms and seasonal rhythms, all the cyclical fluctuations that are going on, and aligning those then becomes that much more powerful and it's a harmonized feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it just feels, I don't know, it feels better in my body. It feels better in my energy. It just feels better in the whole experience. So I love that you're doing that. And I love that that's, you know, the direction that we're taking our teachings these days, because it's just so powerful and so needed. Mm-hmm. But I think we're continuing our conversation from the last episode.
This is the running joke. It's the continuation of the continuation of the continuation. Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Bring us up to date. What's happening?
Okay, so our last episode, we asked that big question about, do you know why you're alive? And we started that, we're like, oh yeah, no small question. Eh? but we started that one by saying, well, that's a really interesting question, because there's two ways that we could go into that. Mm-hmm. We could go into the individual, the specific way of, do you know why you're alive, specifically and individually, which is kind of like Dharma purpose, and discovering that. And then the other one was like, well, or do we want to take the kind of broad view about, do you know why you're alive, which is the question of, do you know what it means to be human? Like, what does it mean to be human? And so that's kind of where we, like the last episode, we took it in more of the individual one, and then we left it as, well, do we want to talk about the broader question of what does it mean to be human?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mean, just from our pre-show conversation, it's so timely and so fitting for the period that we are in right now, I think.
Oh,
anyway.
So fitting. And it's one that I've reflected on like very often, like very often, about what is this? Like, what is this human experience? Mm-hmm. What is this? A lot of times I've heard it referred to as earth school, and I really do feel that way a lot in my life, where I, especially in the times where I've bumped up against something, and it's like, wow, this is a big lesson. If I can, you know, untangle myself from all of the emotion and those tentacles that tend to get, like, where we get enmeshed and things like that. But it's like, yeah, what does it mean? Because it feels like, like for me, it feels like there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep talking though, because I wanted to, you mentioned something and I just need to double check. You said something about Earth School and lessons.
Oh yeah.
Saturn. We would, in astrology, we would look to Saturn because Saturn is known as the great teacher. Saturn is currently at 29 degrees Aquarius. So he's at the end point of his time in this sign, and he'll move into Pisces. So that means all of our lessons are going to be kind of geared toward all the concepts of Pisces, which is like, Pisces is like complete enlightenment, let's say. It's the end of the zodiac wheel. It's where our focus is the divine. Our focus is unity. Our focus is like universal love, not just love at the individual level, like I love myself or I love other human beings, but it's like this divine love. I don't know exactly what it's going to bring for us, but it just is interesting that, actually today is the 8th of March. Saturn moves into Pisces today. So this is really interesting. Anyway, sort of sidebar, but when you had said that thing about, you know, lessons, teacher, etc., it just made me think of that.
Oh, that's amazing. And remember, there are no sidebars, right? There is nothing is random. There's always a reason. And that is because that links us to that question about, you know, what does it mean to be human? And again, there's no, there, there's no right answer to this question. So if people are listening and saying, well, that's not what it means to be, like, yeah. It's like, okay, then what is it? Like, we're just encouraging people to answer this or meditate on this, think about it for ourselves. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. What does it mean? And then, you know, what we're discussing here are possibilities for how to answer this question and kind of more how it relates to how we feel about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Because the answer can be so many things. And if you ask me right now, it's going to be one thing. And if you ask me, you know, in a few days where I've got some more insights, I might have I might have a different or more crystallized answer.
Totally.
But for me, this is really what our whole podcast is all about, is come alive. So for me, what does it mean to be human? It means to come alive.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I kind of feel, and I think just based on things that I've heard you say, I feel like you and I have asked this similar question. What you're talking about right now takes me back to that moment where I was working for the government and I just knew there had to be more to life than this. I knew that my human existence on this planet was more than driving to a job that I didn't like and getting in the car and sitting in my desk for, you know, 8, 10, how many ever hours, and then go, like, just being this robot of back and forth.
Yes.
So for me, the whole idea of, like, what does it mean to be human is to be like this, you know, in A Course in Miracles, we talk about being a child of God. And one of the struggles that we humans experience is that God's children forgot how to laugh. And so the way I take it that is we forgot what it means to experience joy, which is basically the truth of who we are. You've heard me talk about this so many times, is when we're not experiencing joy. And now, again, somebody might work for the government and that accentuates their joy.
Yes.
They might love going to their office and doing their desk job, which is fabulous. And that to them could be what it means for them to be human. But I'm just thinking back to, you know, those conversations that we've had where we're like, you know, 20 years ago, we were asking this question, like, what?
Yes.
There's got to be more to life than this.
Yes. Yes. We both have had similar experiences like that. And that coming alive, and I'm glad that you, like, the way that you qualified it is, like, if what you're doing actually truly makes you feel a lot, like there's a vibrancy and loving it, then you're on the path, you're on the mm-hmm. Dharma. It's if you're doing something, or if we're doing something, I'll say we, because I've been in these positions in my life too, where I know that I'm not lit up while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it for other reasons. And there's always, you know, we're so complex as human beings. We're so complex. So it's not an easy or simple decision when it comes to doing these things. It is though, if we talk about this is why I say there's no randomness, that Saturn, you know, moving into, and you called it, I think you said divine heart or high heart, like mm-hmm. that's the lighting up
mm-hmm.
when we're doing exactly what we love.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think that that's what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
That's what coming alive means, is to feel lit up, to feel alive. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she said, do you know why we're alive? Do you know where we're alive? And I was like, you know, at that time, because this was a number of years ago, and I was still mm-hmm. sorting through a whole bunch of stuff. I still am.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's never going to
end. As we do.
Yeah, as we do. And she said, and I think she was quoting Abraham Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we're alive for the thrill of it.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh. We are alive for the thrill of it. We are alive to experience the glory of a sunrise,
mm-hmm.
the peace of a woods and snowfall in that kind of twilight evening where everything is aglow, to taste the fruit of the earth, to, mm-hmm. to the aromas, the fragrances, mm-hmm. the touch of a human hand. This is why we're alive. It's for the thrill of it.
Yeah, my eyes are closed right now. And sorry, my eyes are closed right now because I'm envisioning everything. I'm getting all my senses in there. And I would also like to add, coming alive is jumping over waves in the ocean.
Oh.
I like just, you know, experiencing all the elements, right? Yes. You talked about all the senses with yes. the taste and the touch, and then also just to feel, talking about Pisces, to feel the water, to feel like the natural elements, to feel the sun on our skin, but then to also feel the cold of the winter, you know, yes. all of that.
Yes. To mm-hmm. not insulate ourselves from those natural forces and not insulate ourselves from the elements. We are the elements mm-hmm. to connect with those elements. And as you were talking about the ocean and, you know, jumping over the waves or in the waves, an image that came to me was a waterfall. Mm. And I remember standing, and this was like quite a bigger waterfall. Any waterfall will do though. The experience is a little more powerful if it's a bigger one. I remember standing there and just like feeling the spray off it and feeling the enormous power mm-hmm. of the rush of that water, like that vibration
yeah.
in my whole body, my being. And I felt lit up by that. I was yeah. like, oh God, I'm alive. I'm yeah. alive because I can feel these things.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. I mean, even just walking in the woods, you can feel that. It's not like a rushing water, but you can just feel the vibration of all of those trees standing together, strong and mighty. And you just like forest bathing, just walking through that. Yeah. It's just, yeah. it's amazing. Yeah. So how do we do that?
Exactly. Like that, that's, so because I have at periods in my life been in those kind of denser and darker places. Mm-hmm. And I know the feeling in those, it's tough to see anything else. And in those times I was like, I don't know how to do it. And now you've said this too, we look to the earth and sky mm-hmm. for the inspiration.
Yeah, totally.
Sometimes one more than other, sometimes both. Mm-hmm. That's where I turn to mm-hmm. now. And I'm kind of more on the earth, and I do look to the sky as well. And I know, mm-hmm. I think you have said you're kind of more of the sky and the earth. It's a blend, but it's,
yeah, totally.
Sometimes it's like we feel more comfortable in one or the other.
Yeah, I'm personally looking at the sky and seeing like, oh, what's going on up there? And then I bring my eye gaze to the horizon yeah. and see where it's being reflected yes. in the experience. And when I say the horizon, I just mean of the physical world, like what's happening in yeah. my life, what's happening with the seasons.
Yes.
I mean, us now getting into spring, you know, we're gonna start to see a lot of things coming alive as we move out of winter, where, you know, winter is the death of mm-hmm. of the seasons, right? That's mm-hmm. everything dies or goes into hibernation. That's where we turn inward. But, you know, once spring hits yeah. and the sun is out longer and the birds come back and the trees start to bloom, you know, everyone starts to tap into that feeling of aliveness because it's literally everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
it's that transformational gestation, that rest period where we kind of renew and recalibrate and then come alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is going on in the sky?
Well, let's take a look as we move into the spring equinox. That's the point where the earth is tilted in a certain way where we have equal amount of daylight and equal amount of nighttime. We're right in the midway point between the winter solstice, which is the longest night of the year, and the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. And when I say day, I mean daylight. We still have the same 24 hours. But with this also comes Aries season, and Aries is the start of the zodiac, and it just amazes me how, you know, spring is all about rebirth and new life coming. Aries is exactly like that. It's the start of the zodiac. It's all about I am. It's about how I show up, and it being a cardinal sign, it's about doing. It's about initiating. It's about starting. We're starting the season. We're starting to grow things. We're starting up. I don't know. You know, we do the spring cleaning because we're cleaning out all the old to start a new season of freshness and all of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just get blown away every time we have these conversations, because we have these conversations in the podcast. Mm-hmm. We have these conversations just
this is how we talk. this is no different, like, than our regular giggles, conversations,
right? Like, yeah. and I'm always amazed because, as you said, it's the spring equinox, which is about coming alive, and then when you said that Aries is like the start of the zodiac calendar, it's like New Year. It's mm-hmm. the new year.
It absolutely is.
And I was like, oh my gosh, and all the things that you described about Aries. And then I love when different kind of schools of thinking or different traditions have the same. So when we look to Ayurvedic, so Ayurvedic, we're coming out of that cold, dry winter, and we're coming into that, I say kapha, but some people say kapha. It's Sanskrit, so it mm-hmm. can be pronounced a lot of ways. That kapha season, and kapha is all about the stickiness. And if we think spring, if we think of muddy, mm-hmm. muddy, sticky, gooey, heavy spring, wet, like,
yeah,
that's what we're coming into.
Yeah, totally.
And interesting is the same as Aries is action. To balance those kind of denser, sticky energies, we need action. Mm-hmm. We need action to get things going, to get out of that sluggishness.
Yeah.
And to come alive.
I love that. And I was just thinking, in the last couple of weeks, like, you know, and we talk about this all the time about, you know, our different like seasonal things that we do, cleanses and whatnot, nutritional resets, whatever we want to call them. I just naturally, like, I don't even know what it is, but I feel the need to start incorporating more oils into my diet again, and more things that nourish and get, you know, the soil all, like, you know, wet and muddy, so that it can be a place to grow seeds. Like, I feel like I've been so dry in the winter, and yes, I do things to moisturize and lubricate my internal self with oils and stuff like that. But now it's like doing it with the intention of not just to pacify the dryness, but to prepare for the new and the rebirth and all of that stuff that yeah. comes in revitalizing our body or yeah. at this time of year. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah. I start to feel that glimmer too. Mm-hmm. And it's not always tied to a specific date in the calendar for me. It's just like, it's somewhere around this time
yeah.
that little spark comes up against, like, oh, like I feel that energy shift, that mm-hmm. awakening, that glimmer that's coming
yeah.
through. Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, there was one time where I did a spring cleanse that I followed somebody else's. I joined a group and they timed it with the start of spring, but the weather was not, it was still pretty wintry.
Yeah.
And so I did it, and it was too, like, I would have done that more in, like, April or May, just when the weather starts getting a little bit warmer. We had done it in March and it was still too cold for that kind of thing. So again, it all depends. Now, I don't know, we had a pretty, I consider the winter that we had pretty mild, even though we just got a bunch of snow toward the end of it. And some people would, I'm sure, disagree with just how much snow we got in such a short period of time. But if you look at it overall, I don't think we really had a full hardy winter. And my sense is that we're kind of coming out of that already. So I'm feeling like thinking in that direction of get spring ready. That's just what came to my mind. It's like getting my body spring ready. Then the action, right? Breaking up all that sluggishness. There's a lot of people that I know around this time of year, they're just like, oh, I'm so tired. I remember before I got linked into the cycles of everything, April, May was the, like March, April, May were the worst for me. I couldn't wake up in the morning. And it wasn't just the fact that we changed our time in March. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that. It felt beyond that. And it was that deep sluggishness. And I wasn't doing the things to break it up. I wasn't tapping into the Aries of the, come on, come to life. Let's do this.
Oh my goodness. So it's the fresh perspective that comes in. So whether or not we actually take the action right then, it's that glimmer of like fresh perspective and starting to think, and then it's like timing the action for when it feels right. Do you have any rituals, like kind of spring rituals?
I love me a good clean out.
Yeah.
Both physically and like physically in my body and physically in my space. So I just, you know, we hear about spring cleaning, and I just thought that was a thing that you do at a date or like at around a certain time. But now more and more, I'm starting to feel it. Like if there's things that have been lying around the house for a while, then I'm like, why do I have this, you know, drawer that I don't use anymore? I can get rid of it, make space. It's the time, like I really try to like clean up everything, get all the winter and the dust and everything out. Like I do, I call it a deep clean. Actually, I started this last weekend, my bathroom. I literally got a mop and I was washing my walls. I was, you know, cleaning out all the old products in my, like old oils and stuff under my cabinet that, you know, had expired or I hadn't used in a while, giving that stuff away. So I like to do a lot of clean out things, and revitalizing things, refreshing things, at this time of year. And then also, with the spring equinox, I like to do a, like a 12 spread, or a 12 card tarot spread, kind of like what's the next zodiac cycle from Aries to Pisces going to look like. And then I do a 13th card, which is kind of like the overall vibe, the overall vibe for this year. That's another thing that I like to do.
Wow. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
we should do that together sometime.
Yeah. definitely do that one together. This is like, so sometimes previously when I heard the word ritual, I kind of was like, oh no, like I don't do that, like and it was, I realized I'm tripping on that word, and we've had these discussions before about tripping on the word or the beliefs that we have around that word. And ritual can be something very detailed and complex. Ritual can be everyday actions. In fact, every moment is sacred and ritual. And I'm really trying to live by that. And I'm not perfect. I'm working on things. So I do try to bring this idea of ritual to everything, whether it's like taking a drink of water and really infusing it with love, or sitting and having a morning beverage, whether that's a tea or a coffee or just something warm and enjoying the warmth of it. So, and then sitting down to eat food and really appreciating all the efforts that went into it, all the colors, all the textures, all the aromas. So everything can become ritual. Going to sleep can become ritual if we go into it in a sacred way where we clear the energies of the day and we prepare ourselves for the energies of the dream time, waking up, where we bring ourselves fully and truly back to this earth plane. So everything can become ritual. So I wanted to add that.
Yeah.
And it's getting that inkling of, so like you said about the cleaning and things like that. And this is, we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, is my movement rituals change. So where the kind of starting, I feel starting in November, I start to go more on the yin practices, moving into stillness, and then come the depths of winter, I'm almost more restorative. There is movement, and then there's the still, it's more, those are more on the stillness side. And now is the time. So my movement ritual, as we move into Aries and spring equinox, it gets more fiery. We start to get into the action, the movement to clear out that stickiness and heaviness and sleepiness. So this is where I start to change from stillness to those more fiery practices.
You know, I noticed that too, a shift in my movement through the seasons. I mean, I'm still, and when I say I'm quite active, like for example, in the winter time, I was doing a lot of strength training. But like slow, you know, the traditional, like 3 to 4 sets, 10 to 12 repetitions, that kind of thing, but more slow, more like doing things to pack things on. And now I'm starting to feel, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm feeling the like desire to just kick it up a notch. All right, we're going to move a little bit more. We're getting back into, you know, I'm not so drawn to HIIT training or anything like that, but I am getting back into the circuits and the increasing my cardio just to, again, break it up and move, get our bodies moving. Because I think, and not even I think, just traditionally over like our, you know, when we were primal humans, in the wintertime, we would hibernate, we would slow things down. And then springtime comes, it's like, all right, we got to put all of our energy into action so that we can have food to sustain us, not only through this period, but through the winter and all of that, you know, preparation for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We still are primal humans.
Like, yes, we are.
That need for that deep connection with nature is there more than ever. To be rooted and connected and harmonized with this earth.
Oh, absolutely. Because we've been so far removed for such a long time. Just, I mean, with the Industrial Revolution and the advancements in technology and all of that stuff, you know, even like kids not playing outside as much as they used to. That sort of thing. So you're absolutely right. We need it now more than ever. Any other rituals?
We have a couple other ones. So we do maple water. So the way that we do this, we've got two sugar maple trees on the property, and we do it reverently. So making sure that it's okay with the tree. And if that sounds like kind of strange, it's just tapping into our own hearts and really connecting with that spirit of the tree and saying, this is what our need is, and this is what we would like, and would you be willing, the same way that we would relate to another human, like, would you be willing, or is this an okay interaction? Would you gift us with some of this? Because maple water is actually quite mineral rich, and so it's really good for our health. The tree goes deep down into the earth to tap this water and pull it up. And as long as we do this reverently and go in with it with gratitude and appreciation, then we feel, if we get that kind of feeling or that hit, and we all get it in a different way, so I'm not even going to say how you're going to know that, like, because some people will know it, some people will feel it in their body, some people will hear something, tell them that it's okay. Some people will see it. Like, it's, there's so many different intuitive gifts of how we receive that message back. And once we got that, then we have this relationship, and we, you know, we tap that tree with, you know, again, just being very mindful and not harming the tree in any way. And then we drink that maple water, we collect it and we drink it. And so again, this is not time, this is, there's no specific date that mm-hmm. this happens, because it's got to do with when the nighttime temperatures are still below zero and the daytime temperatures are above freezing. So mm-hmm. that's when we can do this, because that's when the sap will run. And right. then you'll see people who do actual maple syrup, they have a whole different operation, but it's the same timing. But we mm-hmm. just do a little bit and then we drink that, because it's structured water.
Yes.
So it's it definitely has a different taste than what comes out of the tap, or what comes out of, hopefully it's not out of a bottle.
Well, if it's in a bottle, it came out of a tap.
if it came out of like a reusable bottle. It's got a rounder. My mouthfeel is smoother and rounder if it's structured water.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So that's another one.
You know, I've been hearing about maple water for years. I have yet to experience it. So I'm just going to put this out there. When you guys are doing yours, let me know.
Yes.
And my puppy and I will come by for a visit.
Okay. Yes.
And we'll do maple water shots. Save you get some. Real wild.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. That's what it means to be human. Get wild.
Get wild. Get literally.
Really wild. Yeah. Which is tapping into the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Oh, and another one of our rituals is, this is when we start thinking about what we're going to plant and planting the seeds, like literally and figuratively. At this time, we're planting seeds. So it's mm-hmm. it's about looking ahead for what our intentions are, and then literally what we want to plant. So in and around this time. And again, it's not really a date. We have to look at what's going on. What we look at is 8 weeks back from the first frost date. And the first frost date is different in every area. So I know we have listeners from around the world, and maybe even you don't have a frost date. So it's going to be a little bit different. But if in a cold climate, it's 8 weeks back from the first frost date. And that falls sometime in March, and it's different every year. What I do is I keep track each year of when our last frost date.
Oh, okay.
Last frost date. So 8 weeks back from the last frost date. First frost is actually in the fall. Last frost is in the spring, and we count back. And I keep track every year of kind of when we saw the last frost. But even that, it's got to be what's happening at the moment. Mm. So if it's a really, really like severe winter, then like we just have to be harmonized with like, and go into the feeling of like, I know that typically I can start planting this date, but it's not feeling like that this year. It's watching an old wives' tale, something that I got from my grandmother. She used to say, plant the first full moon in June. So if you plant after the first full moon in June, you're pretty much okay. And so count 8 weeks back and start seeds.
And interesting.
Yeah. And interestingly, it does kind of coincide sort of with that last frost date, but not necessarily. And then also biodynamically, that is planting on the full moon is the energy of rooting, because the energies are being pulled downward. So it's a good time to plant anything that's going to take root. So if we are talking about the spring ritual now, it's plant those seeds so that they can be 8 weeks into growth at the time of the first full moon in June, so it can be transplanted, which is the energy of rooting. So we're kind of like, we're jumping back and forth here about you know, this spring ritual is to prepare for that timing and looking at it that way.
So let me ask you this question, because as you're talking, I'm looking to see when the full moon is now.
I think it's June the 3rd.
Yeah, we have a June 3rd. So that's the strawberry full moon.
Yes.
That's the time that we want to put the seeds into the ground, or after that point.
We want to put the seeds in now. So we count 8 weeks back.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
So like we go June 3rd, count 8 weeks back. And that's when we start planting our tomato seeds, cucumber seeds, melon seeds, pepper seeds. We can start our greens now in this this March period. Actually, greens can be actually sown if you've got hoops and covers. They can be sown now because they can tolerate cooler temperatures.
Okay.
So they can be done. But yeah, we want to be prepared for that full moon. The full moon is when we'll do the transplants of the seeds we plant.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then just to add that the beans and peas are a little bit different because they grow really quickly. So we go 4 weeks back from that moon for them.
Oh, okay. So
not quite at this. We'll talk about this in upcoming podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
But our ritual now is those seeds in preparation.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I love that. And you've got me so like, now I'm in the back of my mind already calculating my seeds and getting all that stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Coming alive, yeah.
Coming alive. And then, but then that's, you know, I mean, looping it back, as we love to do, to permaculture.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're really getting in tune with the cycles, and we're really using those principles to help drive this through what's to come, because we still have, you know, then there's, you know, the first month, I'll say, even though you know, spring equinox is around the 20th of March, but that first month, so from March 20th to about April 20th, is that initiating, and then from April to May, that's the, in astrology, it's a fixed sign, so that's the sustaining, and then the next one of that season is the mutable, which is the one that transforms from the sustaining of spring to the cardinal, the initiating of summer.
Yeah.
Which will
this then... this is where I get tingles.
Right?
These are all like aligned. So now, like looking to the sky astrologically, it's Aries, it's the focus, it's getting things going, it's action to lead the way to get, you know, to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Yeah.
And also Aries being a fire sign, again, that it's the element of like, it's because there's three fire signs. The first one being the spark. Aries is the spark that initiates everything. And then the next one is Leo, fixed, which is going to sustain the fire right in the middle of summer. And then we have Sag, which is Sagittarius, toward the end of fall when we're transitioning to winter.
Wow.
So it's just, it's so fascinating.
So fascinating.
Anything else to add? Like, I feel like I'm hanging on every word you're saying about your springtime rituals, because I just love them.
I get very excited.
As you should. It's exciting.
I'm excited about this stuff. The one other thing too that we notice at this time of year is the change in the birds.
Yeah. You know, I've been noticing birds the last couple of weeks. I haven't heard them chirp in a while.
Yes.
And they've been singing lately.
Yeah. And again, no, there's not a fixed date. It's not like, oh, they start singing at this date. It's just in and around this time, start to notice outside what birds are coming around and the different, and that's, oh gosh, this is a whole other thing that I've just started reading about, is there's actually patterns to birdsong. And so there's a whole conversation going on in this world that if we start to like really pay attention and start to connect with, we can get a whole other aspect of like what life is on this planet, because they're having this whole conversation and they're talking, and we might not even be paying attention to notice that they're there. And then if we do pay attention, we might be like, oh, well, I don't really know what that means. It's just, it's chirping or it's singing, or it's like, there's so many resources on that. There's a book called What the Robin Knows by John Young. And it is absolutely fascinating if bird song is something that gives that little hit of lighting up, something that might seem interesting. It's an amazing book. And then, you know, but you don't have to read it or go out and get it. Just start noticing. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that interesting? And you don't have to identify the bird. It's just like, oh, that's a song. And oh, that's a different song. It's the same bird. That's a different song. The first step is noticing, is being aware.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I kind of have this memory of hearing something like before either a natural disaster or a storm or something like that, like the birds will go completely silent. Mm. Or is that something?
The specifics I would have to look up. There is something about they'll move. They can sense it. They may leave the area completely.
Okay.
So they might be silent because they've felt the vibration that they've left. Animals will do this too. They're very tapped into the rhythms of the earth and the signals from the earth, and they'll know whether there's going to be an earthquake or something, and they'll leave. Like they'll go to safety somewhere. So yeah,
I've noticed there's certain times when my puppy is, when he behaves a certain way, or there's an area on our walk, there's like a little wooded area, very small, but there's a bridge that links from one side of the park to the other, and there must be something that lives in there, because every time we walk by, he'll be like, fine, he'll stop, he'll look. And then I'll be like, come on, we're going. And then he'll just hightail it over that bridge and shoot across the field to get to the other side.
Yeah.
Because there must be something there that he just is not into.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, they know.
And I think it's they are so tapped in to their hearts. They're not intellectualizing things the way that we can, and these gifts are beautiful. It's just as a human knowing when to employ what. And so, you know, back to that bird example, don't worry that you don't know what bird it is, or you don't know what the song means, or go out and experience it and hear it and let it land, and intuitively we will start to connect. We will understand what it means. We don't need to read about it. We will start to learn what these things mean. And a concrete example for us, we can know when there's a cat that kind of wanders around, and we will know by the way the birds are chirping where it is.
Whoa.
Because this came from notice. This is just noticing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, oh, what's that kerfuffle? And then the cat would appear, and it's like, oh, so the birds are saying it's here. And then as it would go away, it's like we could trace its path by the way that the birds were sounding to all these other everything that's living. They're just like, here it is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, hearing you speak about that, it makes me think of, you know, I've been following astrology I'm at this point my entire life, is what I'm going to say. And, you know, now it's to the point where I know at certain times and in certain cycles and in certain things, just from doing that very thing that you said, just observing. So like, yes, I'm going to Google, like I did a moment ago, where's Saturn? You know, the larger, the further planets, not so much, but more of the sun, the moon, and the personal planets, Venus, Mercury, and Mars. I just kind of like notice where they are, know what I know about the sign that they're in, what the planet represents. And then I just kind of sit back and watch. And then I'll see, oh, this interaction is happening. Oh, this miscommunication was happening. So I've kind of figured out how to kind of navigate these times. I would imagine that listening to, I mean, it's in no way easy, but I would imagine it would be a little bit easier because it's versus like, oh, the planets are doing this thing, because the planetary energies are much more subtler. So you'd have to like really get in, as opposed to you have the cues, you know, the birds chirping but it also, both of them take a level of coming into stillness and knowing, observing and interacting, knowing what's going on inside of you and noticing what's happening around, and then making the connection that way. Really fascinating.
And I think of how many times have I said to you, Paul, I've been feeling like this or this, and I'll describe something, and then you'll be like, oh, I like, and then, so I, you know, wouldn't have been aware of so much of these astrological things that are going on, and you'll say, oh, well, like maybe because of this isn't that, and wait till this date, I'm sure you're going to feel different. And then I'll be like, that date will come, I'll be like, oh, I do. Oh my goodness. Like it totally shifted.
Yeah.
For me, I had to learn the distinction of, it's still being in our power. We're not at the whim or at the fate of anything. Mm-hmm. It's just that these are cycles, and some are more conducive to certain things than others, and some may create some particular challenges. It's not necessarily going to happen. It just may be a little bit bumpier if we're trying to do something out of sync. Harmony, and yeah.
Exactly. It's like, if the weather is saying it's gonna snow today, it's not the time to put on your bikini and head to the beach. Do you know what I mean? Like that's how I see astrology. It's like, yes, oh, exactly. The planet is telling me there's potential for miscommunication. Okay, I'm going to be very mindful of how I communicate with others today.
Yes.
And if I know that, you know, somebody that I usually chat with, or, you know, somebody, a colleague or a family member that I have a hard time communicating with, I'm going to be that much more present and clear when I communicate with them during this time.
Yeah.
It's no different than the soil is extra moist and wet. This is the time to plant the seeds. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's all that.
Yeah. And if something does happen, if a miscommunication does happen, it's like, okay, I we're in a cycle where this is going to happen. This, you know, this is more likely to happen. So I'm going to be a little gentler and easier on myself and whoever I'm interacting with, because it's like, yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, it's raining. We walked outside. There was no umbrella. We got wet. Now we got to navigate this.
Yeah, you know? Let's dry off.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. I love this conversation.
Me really, too.
I could keep going, but.
And we will, because it'll be the continuation of the continuation.
So listeners, just know that next time we meet, it's going to be a continuation of what we've chatted about today. So that is amazing. Kitty girl, do we have any om work for our listeners?
Oh my goodness. Oh, I would say, do you have any spring rituals?
Notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just notice. What are you drawn to be doing? What do you feel called to do around this time of year?
Yeah.
Just intuitively.
Yeah.
And let us know. Head over to livingspiritfully.com. Sign up for the Living Spiritfully Collective and share your thoughts, or reach out. Catherine and I have our contact info in the show's notes. Again, you can also see the information on how to sign up for either of our programs that we've got going on starting this very month as we enter spring. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you, listeners. And we'll be back again. Catherine and I will be back again in April, the second week of April, for our next Come Alive conversation. And next week, listeners, check us out for my heart-to-heart conversation is with my dear friend Ivana, which actually is a conversation that sprung from a conversation that you and I, Catherine, we had a couple of months back. So we are going to discuss that. But before we go, Catherine, anything else to share?
We are meant to thrive. How do you come alive?
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.